Hey, I want to welcome you today to the kickoff of our brand new series from London. It was quite a journey getting to this city. In fact, a couple days right before I was about to leave, I went into my bedroom, into the safe where my passports are stored, and I opened the box and my passport was nowhere to be found. And if you were with us on Easter, you'll remember that I told a story about how I've lost a lot of passports throughout the course of my life. So on Thursday before leaving on Saturday, I had to go in search and get a new passport. I went up to the passport agency in San Francisco, was praying for mercy, and finally came that moment when I got to the window and this lady who pulled up all my information on the computer looked at me and said, "Sir, this is the third passport you've lost." And I'm like, "Yeah, it is the third one I've lost. Will you please give me some mercy? I accept full responsibility for losing this passport." So she gave me mercy. I got it the next day, the last moment before the passport agency was closing, and I was able to come on this trip. Well, I've been here for a couple days now, and yesterday Stacy sent me a message informing me that she went through the same box that I looked through for my passport and she found it. So my passport that I was looking for was in the box, and somehow I missed it, and it's all a part of God's humor to teach me a lesson that I still am a little bit scatterbrained, but I did make it to London. I'm glad to be able to be here as we kick off this series. You know, this idea of God's will is a question that so many of us wrestle through. What is it that God wants for our lives? And I can remember from my own journey, so many points in the juncture of my journey wrestling through what it is that God wants from me and trying to figure out questions like, when it's time to go to college, which school does God want me to go to? Or when I'm choosing my major, which major should I have? Or looking for a job, which company should I work for? Which person should I get married to? And a lot of these questions, most of us wrestle throughout our lives, and we really do want to know. We want to know what it is that God wants for us. And even if you're not a follower of Jesus, so many people, so many of my friends wrestle through, how do I make better, wiser choices? So this series is all about knowing God's will. It's about making better decisions. And each of these weeks, the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about how to make wise decisions that lead to fewer regrets and greater joy in our lives. So for our first week today, what I want to do is I want to lay a framework or really a perspective shift in how we think about God's will and give you some real practical tools as you're processing major decisions in your life, a lens to think through, and then each of the weeks subsequent following this week, we'll dive a little bit further into some of the topics that we'll talk about today. You know, navigating God's will is a lot like finding your way around a new city. In fact, I've been here a few days now with Archie from our staff, and we've gotten lost a couple of times. And one of the most important decisions that you make when you're navigating your way around a city is you have to determine your navigation source, whether it's a map or it's Google Maps or Apple Maps if you want to get lost. And there is a sense in which on your phone, whenever you pull out your GPS, there are three points that help you triangulate and find your way where you need to go. The first one is a fixed point in the sky from a satellite. The second one is the destination that you want to go to. And the third is your current location. And if you don't have any of these three correct, you're going to find yourself getting lost. In fact, there was this one time I was going on a date with my wife, Stacy. We were traveling up to San Francisco to go see a play right in the heart of the city. And we had a couple hours of margin to get where we needed to go. So we started driving. We stopped for dinner. Our dinner took a little bit longer. When we left our dinner in Palo Alto, we had about an hour's worth of margin. Well, once we got up to the city, it was rush hour traffic, and it took us about an hour to get through the traffic. Finally, we got closer to the city. There was more traffic. And by the time we got to where we needed to go, we had been on the road for like 2.5 hours, and we were already late. We were using my phone to get there, and we were watching that battery go down, down, down. And finally, right as we were almost to our location, about 4 or 5 blocks away, the phone died. And we lost connection with the satellite. We lost connection with the fixed point. And you know, navigating God's will is important because we have to have a fixed point that helps us determine where we need to go. And that fixed point for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are trying to know God's will, is the Bible. It's God's word. It's this authoritative source for our lives that is like a fixed point that never changes. And we can continue to go back to God's word over and over and over again to help us discern and discover what it is that God wants us to do with our lives. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is so beautiful in the way that it describes God's word. I'd love to read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, the thing that is beautiful about God's word is that it is inspired. It's breathed into by the power and the strength of God. There's no other book of wisdom on planet Earth that has the same inspiration that God's word does. It's like an authority that can lead and guide our lives and our decisions. Then the thought continues. It says it corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every single good work. What that means is that God's word helps us discern this fixed point where he wants our lives to be. It never changes, but also in seeing God's word, it helps us know where God wants us to go and where we are currently. And one of the things I've begun to see throughout the course of my journey is I dial in more and more to this idea of God's will. As I search through the scriptures, it's been a little bit frustrating for me at times when I'm praying for God's wisdom on decisions and I want a black and white answer. I want God to tell me which neighborhood I should move into. I want God to tell me things like, you know, should I have this conversation with this person right now and what word should I say? And sometimes I feel like God's will is a little bit silent. But what I've discovered more and more as I've been reading through the scriptures is that God's word is actually way more about who I am than what I do. In fact, if you search through the scriptures just with this idea of God's will, you'll see a lot of verses that are about this idea of character. In fact, I love this verse that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says this, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those of you who belong to Christ Jesus." See, God's will is more about the person that you are becoming than the place that you are going. God has a person in mind that you'll become, and that person is a version of you that is more and more like Jesus. It's a life that bears fruit. It's a life that is filled with what the scripture calls the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And the more that I understand God's will for my life, seeing that what he wants for me is to become a person of character, then it changes the way I navigate my steps. It changes the way that I make decisions. So that destination point, the fixed point is God's word, but the destination is that character. It's that person that God wants me to become, and it allows me to more effectively and more wisely choose my decisions and my turns each day as I go throughout the course of my life. You know, I think it's interesting too. A lot of times the frustration around God's will is that we go to the Bible and we're expecting God to give us an answer on something that we're deciding right now. And we're thinking that God is really going to tell us what decision we need to make. Should I go to Stanford or should I go to Cal Berkeley? Should I go to Cal Berkeley or should I go to Southern California and be a UCLA Bruin? And then you start reading through the Bible and you come across passages of scripture that they'll say something like, you know, David from the Bible, he killed the lion and the bear to protect his sheep. And, oh, what does that mean? Does that mean because the bear was killed that God doesn't want me to go to Cal and be a bear? And, oh, no, maybe now I should go to Stanford, but I didn't get into Stanford, so what's God's will? Or it can be really confusing. You know, you're trying to decide which of two girls you're dating. And then you pick up the Bible and you're reading through the story of Abraham and you realize Abraham had two wives, so maybe God's will is that I should date both of these girls. And sometimes we can get confused when we go to God's word for his will and we look at it simply through the lens of there's this one decision that God wants for me. But when we go to scripture and we read and we pray through the lens that there is a person that God wants me to become, that he's forming me and shaping me into, it makes discerning God's will so much easier. So now instead of it being one school or the other, it's more of a matter which of these environments will help me learn to love Jesus and become more the person he's created me to be. Or which of these two people that I'm dating, or that you're dating, I should say, which of these two people are more of the person that God would want me to marry? And you see, that starts to clarify and bring wisdom to our decisions as we're trying to navigate God's will. See, God's will becomes clearer and clearer and clearer when we search the Bible for the destination he wants for our lives. But the other thing that I think is beautiful about this passage of scripture that we just looked at from 2 Timothy is that God's word helps us discover where we are right now. In fact, that verse says that God's word is useful for correction to our hearts and to our minds, to see the attitudes and the decisions and the behaviors that are out of alignment with God's will for our lives. I'll give an example of this. Recently, one day I was really frustrated with my kids and I was complaining about their attitude and their behavior. That night when I went to bed, I was just saying to Stacy, you know, I'm really frustrated with our kids. Well, the next morning I woke up, I picked up the Bible and I started reading through it. And I came across this one verse that said, children are a blessing from God. And it was almost as if in that moment, God used his word to correct my heart, to bring me back into alignment for his will. See, I've found that over the course of my life, if I'll read through the Bible on a regular daily basis to let God change the way I think and change my heart, that his will starts to become clearer and clearer and clearer in my life. I love how Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about God's will. It says that we should renew our minds on a daily basis, and then when we do this, we'll be able to test and approve what it is that God wants us to do, his will for our lives. And so as we see these three fixed points, these points that are, number one, the fixed point of God's word, number two, the destination of character that he has for us, and number three, our current location, this is the navigation source for discerning God's will. Now, I want to make one statement about this before we go on to our second point for the message today, and it's this. You know, there are some things in God's word that are black and white. I don't ever have to wrestle through, should I break into the Buckingham Palace so I can see the baby that was just born here in England, baby Charlotte. I don't have to ask through that question, or I don't have to really ask whether or not God wants me to flip the finger to somebody who cut me off in traffic. You know, there are some directives in Scripture that are very clear, like love your neighbor and build one another up. And some of these directives that are black and white, but there are some decisions in life that are gray. And what happens in our lives is we can take the black and white principles from God's word and we can allow them to inform the gray decisions that we make on a regular basis. And that is how we can begin to get greater and greater clarity in our lives that brings greater joy and helps us determine what it is that God wants us to do. And for point number two, we're going to go to our local campuses live as we talk through how to continue to discern God's will.
Hello. The second point of this is to ask for help. Ask for help. So this whole idea of godly counsel being the second major strategy of finding direction and wisdom. As you heard Andy say, we got lost a few times. I was there with him, and we got lost a few times, turned around on the tube a few times because we were in a hurry when we first got there. So we would have to ask directions quite a bit when we were first getting to London. And what we found was that people from London were actually really nice and really willing to help us. And everything they say sounds so intelligent, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that about the English accent? It doesn't matter what they say. It just sounds so smart. And so I mentioned that to a friend of ours that we were traveling with. And I said, you ever notice they just sound so smart, everything they say? I wonder what we sound like to them. And he said, You don't want to know. So I said, okay, well, we'll leave it at that. So, occasionally, no matter what happens in our lives, whether you're trying to find yourself in a new city or you're trying to walk through a circumstance where you're starting a new job, you're sending your kids off to school, you're getting ready to start school, you're getting ready to get married in a few months, the great thing about life is that there is almost always someone else who has walked through those same circumstances and sometimes have actually done it well. So there are people around us, and part of this whole idea of getting direction and wisdom for our lives is that God has placed people in our lives that we can look to for wisdom. And every struggle or decision that you're facing, someone else has faced that. I want to show you this in Scripture. This is Proverbs 20. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person of understanding will pull it out. What does that mean? So just because there are people around us that have experience and that have wisdom in the areas that we need, it's up to us to ask the questions to be able to pull that knowledge and wisdom out. I don't know if you feel like me. Sometimes I get around someone like this that I want to learn from. I don't know what to ask sometimes. And Andy on our staff, our lead pastor, he is terrific at asking questions and has really taught our staff how to ask great questions. And the whole principle of this is just very practically, when you get around somebody that you want to learn from, if you only have a half an hour with this person, sometimes what we want to do is just, I want to talk for 20 minutes, I want to tell you my story, tell you what's going on, and then ask like the 10 minutes left. And what he has taught us on staff to do is to ask perspective questions instead of just telling me how to do it, just jump to the answer, which sometimes we're so stuck we need that. But more often than not, if we're really going to grow and learn from the experience of gaining wisdom from other people, we need to ask perspective questions. So a perspective question might be like, here's a two-minute version of my situation. If you were me, what would you do? Or what am I missing? What am I not seeing? Tell me, how do you think about this? Just a real practical on this. I oversee the creative arts and production and all that stuff here at South Bay, and I met with my counterpart at a larger church who had been doing this for a lot longer than I have, and I said, here's my org chart. What would you do? Or what do you see here? And he said, why is this person doing this? And if you move this person to this, that would free you up and this other person. And so sometimes when we're in the weeds of the details of our lives, it's really difficult to see beyond that. But God has placed people not only around us in our business life, but our personal life that we can learn from. I was really impressed. I read a book by John Maxwell last week. He's one of the all-time gurus of leadership and wisdom, and he talked about when he was starting his business that he reached out to people that were leaders in his industry and said, hey, I'd like to take you to lunch. I know you don't know me, but I'll pay you $100 for half an hour of your time. And I just thought that was really bold. That's being really tenacious about going and getting the wisdom that you need. And here's the thing, when we find out that we don't have the wisdom that we need in a certain situation, it's up to us to fight for it and up to us to line up those people that we can learn from. And every area of my life that I've had growth in, it's almost always resulted in meeting with somebody else or gaining wisdom from someone else. My wife and I, Rebecca, we're getting ready to celebrate 12 years of marriage at the end of this year, so it's an incredible thing. Thank you very much. Insert normal joke about God being real because she stayed with me that long, so there you go, we'll save that time. But it's been incredible. It's not always been it has ups and downs just like any relationship, and we've had low times and high times. Every time our marriage gets better, it's as a result of meeting with a mentor or going to see a counselor or something like that. We're in a unique position right now where my in-laws have moved in with us. And somebody over here just said, whoa. And like, it's a really great thing for us so far. And it's been awesome. And my father-in-law is like an incredible leader, been a mentor of mine for a long time. And I said to him when he moved in, I said, as another man, you're going to have a unique perspective on my life. You're going to see what I'm like at home. You're going to see really what kind of husband I am, really what kind of father I am. And I'm giving you full permission to speak into my life. And because I want to be better at this, you know? So a few months went by, and he said, hey, I noticed last week you guys didn't go on a date night. What's up? And I said, you know, we got busy, things came up, and, you know, we just, you know. So I don't know if you've ever been to a counselor's office, and you say something, and they don't say anything back. They just do this. and that's kind of what he did. He's like, okay, so is it a priority or not? You know, that's what he said to me. So I was like, you can go one or two ways with this information. You can be like, what my natural response is, like, I'm a terrible husband and father to your daughter. You know, that's one side. That's how I interpret it. Or I can use this information to make me better. And that's the reality. When we seek wisdom from other people, sometimes it's not always fun to get negative feedback or feedback that's tough to hear. But if you take it through the right lens, knowing that God has placed those people around us, you can really use some of those conversations to better yourself. But there are some decisions that go so deep, you can ask a million people their opinions on your situation, and you know at a deep, deep level, you need more than just the wisdom of men around you. There are some decisions that go so deep, I need to hear from God on this. And that's the beauty that God gives us. He gives us the Holy Spirit as guidance. When Jesus died and rose again and then ascended back up to heaven, before he left, he said, hey, I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be with you all the time, that can give you the direction that you need, and I'll be with you all the time. And so that's what we have in the Holy Spirit. I want to show you this verse out of Jeremiah. It says, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The time that I can think in my life that I needed the most direction was deciding to come and start South Bay. Myself, Andy, and our executive pastor of ministries, Felipe, who is also the campus pastor at our Sunnyvale campus, the three of us and our families moved here 7 years ago to start South Bay. And I remember praying through the decision to do this, because it was a really big deal. We lived in South Carolina at the time. We owned a house, so I had to quit my job. I had to sell our house and pretty much everything that we owned. There was no church. There was no job to move here to, so we raised our own salaries for 3 years like missionaries and taking a big risk. You know, so that was a really big move for us, so I wanted to be sure that I was hearing from God on that. So what I did was I did a 21-day fast, not just from food, but I did a 21-day media fast. So you know that time in the evening, whether you have a lot of it or a little bit, everybody has this time where you're sitting in front of the TV, you're also playing on your phone or on the internet. It's just that downtime that you have. And what I decided to do was, during that 21 days, I was just going to clear my mind of all distractions. And during that 21 days, I didn't use the internet unless I had to pay a bill or do something for work. But I was going to fill that time with reading through the New Testament as far as I got in the 21 days. If I finished it, great. If not. But what I noticed was just my brain space became so clear, and I felt like God was speaking to me the whole time. And at the end of that 21 days, I felt so close with God. I felt like I could have really been like this, be healed. And it would have worked, you know? Like, that's how close and focused I felt at the end of that time. Just as a side note, when I went back to watching some of the shows that we had watched prior to that 21 days, I was like, oh, I feel so, like, gross. Some of the stuff that I just unintentionally let into my heart, and it really changed some of the stuff that we watched and listened to at the time. But here's the deal, that sometimes we feel like God's holding out on us. We feel like he knows what to do, but he's just not going to tell me because he wants me to figure it out on my own. And there's a portion of that that is sort of true only in this way, that he wants us to seek him for that guidance, for that direction, for that wisdom. And can we put that verse from Jeremiah back up? If you seek me, you'll find me. Some of you that have been following Christ for a long time, you see this verse, and there's something inside your gut that just kind of like twists. You're like, nah, I'm tired of seeing this verse, because here's the thing. I have sought God with my whole heart. I'm praying, I'm seeking, I'm asking people, and I still don't feel like God is coming through for me. I still don't know which direction to take. And if I could just say to you out of love, even for myself, if this is you, then I want to ask you and invite you to change it up a little bit. Maybe seeking God with your whole heart looks a little different in this season of your life than you've tried before. And just to be reminded that it's a relationship with God. You don't always talk to your spouse with the same sentence, you know. I hope you don't, or you won't have a spouse very long. Right? It is a living, breathing relationship that God wants to interact with us in. And sometimes we approach God through this formula, through this like strategy, and he's a living, breathing entity that wants to give you real direction today, and he wants to do it. Look at this verse in James. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He won't rebuke you for asking. He knows that we need wisdom, that we need to hear from him, and he wants to do it. So in summary of this second point, God places people around us that we can gain wisdom from. He speaks through those people around us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and direction, and he wants to do it. But as a blanket statement to this whole thing, he is more interested in developing you as a person and developing your heart than the actual decision that you're trying to get through in the moment, that he is interested in relationship with you. And it's about knowing him, loving him, and following his ways.
The last point I'd like to focus in on as we wrap up our time together today is this, that once we've sought God's will for our lives and it starts to become increasingly clear, the third key component for us is to actually take our next step in our journey of faith. And that's point number three as you're taking notes. You know, I love this very powerful word from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 from the Bible. It says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." I think sometimes we get deceived that our growth spiritually happens as we just listen to the Bible. It's not a matter of just listening, it's a matter of obeying and following through. Then he says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Now, sometimes I would like to be able to do that, but the reality is our brain, we store images and we walk away, we can still remember it. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives life and freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. See, there is a blessing that God wants to bestow upon our lives as we obey and we do His will, as we follow through with what it is that He's asking of us. I remember specifically a time in my life where there was something I knew that God wanted me to do. There was a girl I was dating in high school, and our relationship was not really healthy. We were on two totally different tracks. And I could sense God saying, "Andy, you need to break up with her." But I continued to disobey. And there was this frustration, there was this angst, there was this stress that I began to feel as I continued to disobey what it is that God wanted me to do. And then when I called the relationship off and I took the next step, there was this immediate peace that I began to feel. You know, I wonder today if there are some next steps that God is stirring in your heart and you've not followed through with them. And God is gracious in the way that He works in our lives. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. But there's a part of our journey spiritually that we have to do. We have to follow through with obedience. That is, the Spirit of God and the Word of God is at work in your heart and in my heart. We have to obey what it is that He wants us to do if we're going to grow. See, one of the things I'm looking at with my life over the course of time that I hope happens for me and for you is that the longer we follow Jesus, the shorter the gap between what it is that God says to us and leads us to do in our obedience, that gap continues to shrink over the course of time. And that's what obedience is. It's hearing God's voice, it's listening, and then obeying. And then as we do that, there is a tremendous blessing. So today, I want to encourage you to do what it is that God wants you to do, to take your very next step in your journey of faith. And what's amazing about this idea of following God, sometimes it's a matter of continuing on the same road that we've been on. Other times, it's a matter of turning direction. You know, sometimes we want God to make a way out in terms of a marriage or a relationship with a kid or a job. And, you know, a lot of these relationships like marriage and parenting, those are covenant relationships. And God is saying, hey, you need to stay faithful, to stay on the same journey, to get a renewed sense of passion and commitment to that marriage or that parenting relationship with your child. Many of us, maybe it's a change in direction. It's a new job. It's moving somewhere else. It's following through with what it is that He wants us to do. For some of you today, that change in direction is to give control of your life to God. You know, it's amazing about the way that God works in our lives that we are never just beyond one prayer from God's help, never just beyond one prayer from relationship with God. And the beauty of the message of Jesus is that He would die on a cross for your sins so that you could be restored to God, so that you can have relationship with Him. And as Jesus died on a cross and He rose again from the dead, He did that on your behalf, and your trust in Him literally can begin relationship between you and God that goes from this moment through all of eternity. So would you today, if that's you, just be open to the idea that there could be a God that loves you and wants a relationship with you, and give control of your life to Him in this moment if you do that. Without any fanfare or super big prayers, just by simply surrendering your life to Him, you can begin that journey of relationship with Jesus. Others of us, maybe it's a decision to go public with the faith in Jesus, to follow Him and let the whole world know by writing on a connection card, hey, I want to go public at the next baptism service at South Bay. Maybe it's getting involved in community or starting to serve or letting a relationship in your life that's gone awry be cleared up, forgiving somebody that's hurt you. See, right now in this moment, I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God, that His grace is at work in you. And it's a matter of listening to his voice and responding to obey what it is that he wants you to do. My hope for you and my hope for myself is that over the course of our journey, as we learn to hear God's voice and we follow through, that gap between listening and obeying would continue to shrink over the course of time. And that as that gap continues to shrink, we'll grow more and more. See, many people find themselves stuck in their journey spiritually because they don't obey what it is that God wants them to do. And maybe today you are stuck, and the way out is just to simply say yes, to obey. I hope that you are starting to realize that God wants to lead and wants to guide and wants to direct your life. And it's a matter simply of you and I going to that source of truth, seeking his help, and letting him guide and direct us to that next step and following through to do what it is that he wants us to do. As we wrap up our time together today, I'd like to pray over you and pray for you to be able to hear God's voice clearly in his direction for your life. Even if you're new to this whole idea of faith, I'd like to ask you to be willing to open up your heart in a special way to the idea that there could be a God that loves you and wants to lead and guide your life. And then, you know, the next few weeks, we're going to continue to drill down more and more into what it means to know God's will. Next week, we're going to look at this idea of God wanting to help our lives be about his kingdom, a greater cause that's bigger than just our lives, and how to live for God's purposes. And we're going to continue looking at how that plays into his will. In the third week of our series, we're going to talk about character and how making decisions through that lens helps us know and discern God's will. And then the fourth week of our series, we're going to talk about the subject of wisdom and how do we make the wisest decision as we're approaching and discerning what to do next with our lives. So I want to encourage you to be back for each of these weeks and to let God use this time in your life to give you greater clarity as you're making decisions to know his will and to follow him with your whole heart. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much today that you love us, that you want us to know your will. I pray for each and every person who's joining us, who's watching this message, who's a part of South Bay. I pray, God, that you would continue to lead and guide our steps, that you would make your will and your desires for our lives very clear, and that you would help us to obey and follow through. Help us to receive everything you want into our lives, to receive your leadership and guidance, your Spirit's help, to receive your wisdom. And God, we pray that you'd bring great clarity to your will. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.